They call themselves Islamic jihadists, but they're just bloodthirsty pagans in disguise. And the quintessence of ferocity.
یک انسان رو شما کشتید، گویا تمام انسانیت رو کشتید.
Who kill their hostages and eat their hearts, all in the name of Islam.
Psychologically, there is no explanation of taking the heart of a human being. It's against human rights. It's even against their own religion.
قطعاً گناه کبیره و نابخشوده نیست. در اسلام مردوده. به هیچ احدی از اسلام بوی برده باشد نمیتونه به اون تایید.
Armed slaves.
October 8th, 2013. A new day has begun, and rebels fighting the Syrian army are preparing to encounter the government in the northwestern city of Idlib. Warriors with no boundaries in their conquest. They massacre horrifically, vindicating themselves for taking the hostility off of their religious teachings. That is an excuse. They attack cities, villages, and aim at civilians. They decapitate innocent children and slaughter hostages in the worst way possible. They're made to believe these inhumane acts of cruelty will lead their way to the transcendental heaven, promised to the believers by God. God is great. This is what the Takfiris chant before committing a crime, be it shooting at opposition forces, demolishing schools, or decapitating hostages. The broadcast of such slogans these days affects public opinion and blemishes the face of Islam.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
These attempts are not the least supported by any Islamic scholar.
این مسائلی که هر روز در اخبارات شما الان همه میشنوید که مثلا یک نفر میاد 50 نفر رو گردن میگذاره رو کاردش 80 نفر رو میکشه یک جا و اولم آیه میخونه آیه قرآن مجید رو بعدم آیه میخونه، این دیگه فکر نکنم در جای از اسلام جایگاهی داشته باشه.
Listen to what they say afterwards.
Nonetheless, attempts like this will be supported by some. American Senator John McCain confessed to his close ties with the armed rebels whilst defending their crimes.
Would you have a problem with American Christians saying, thank God, that's what they're saying, come on. Of course they are Muslims, but they are moderates, and I guarantee you that they are moderates. I know them and I've been with them. For someone to say Allah Akbar is about as offensive as someone saying thank God.
They're moderates, and I guarantee them, actions speak louder than words. But to what extent do these conducts account for the religion of the practitioners? Do these acts of violence illustrate Islam or a category of its commandments? This is Mahabad, northwest Iran. Sunni Muslims constitute the majority of the city's population. We went to the Muslim scholars of the Sunni sect to hear what they had to declare about Islam's true perspective on heinous actions. Mr. Qadir Sohrabi is a prominent scholar in Mahabad and the Friday prayers leader.
نمیشه این رو، یعنی واقعا سبا هم این کار رو نمی کنید، هیچ جانور این کار رو نمی کنید، هیچ کار، نه انسان نه، ولی هیچ جانور این کار رو نمی کنید.
Mr. Sohrabi has researched Islamic sources for years. He believes extremism must have been imposed on a community that claims to be Muslim and yet showcases extremist behavior.
دین اسلام دین خشونت نیست. دین آدم کشی نیست، دین خون ریزی نیست، دین خود منفجر کردن و دیگران کشتن نیست. دین ما دین رافت، دین مروت، دین مهربانی، دین جوان مردی، دین کرامت، دین معرفت است. این واقعا تندروی ما، دین ما دین وسطه، یعنی افراط و تفرید در دین ما نیست. حتی می فرماد لا ضرر ولا ضرار فی الاسلام، در اسلام نظر رساندن به مردم، نظر رساندن به خودت جایز نیست. بسی نه به خودت ضرر برسونی، نه به دیگران ضرر برسونی. حقیقتا اونیش امروز ما در جهان میبینیم و مشاهده میکنیم، میشه گفت این یه بالاخره امریست از طرف استکبار جهانی، یعنی واقعا به ما مسلمان تحمیل شده.
جهاد، a term frequently used nowadays as an excuse by many extremist groups to vindicate themselves for killing thousands of innocent people. Many of the victims are Muslims. Strangely enough, jihad against the oppressor has transformed to jihad against the Muslim. Extremist groups have different definitions of jihad and its entailing reasons and causes. Most definitions contribute to the acts of violence of these very groups. But what is jihad in its true sense? And in what circumstances can jihad be implemented?
جهاد اونی که انسان اگر کسی خدا اینا کرده به مملکت کسی، به خاک کسی، به دیار کسی حمله کند، دفاع از اون لازمه. یک جهاده، یکی که اگر خدا که جنگ بین مسلمانان و کافران پیش بیاد، شمشیر بکشند کافران علی مسلمان، این جهاده.
This is Ghesh Mylan. Mr. Mohammad Saleh Amini is a prominent scholar in the region and a member of the Sunni Fatwa Council.
دستور جهاد اونی که از یک نفر رهبر اسلامی دستور جهاد داده شده، نه که هر کس از طرف خودش یک دستور جهاد بدهد. اون که از اسلام مردوده، خداوند رو اطیع الله و اطیع رسول و اولی الامر منکم. وقتی از یک امر یک مسلمانی، حاکم مسلمان دستور جهاد داده شد، اون دستور جهاده. به این که هر کس از طرف خودش بگه من این حکم جهاد دارد، این از اسلام مردوده، قابل قبول نیست.
The verdict of jihad is embraced by all sects of Islam. Every Muslim believes jihad is a pillar of the godly religion. This is Gosht, a town in southeast Iran. Gosht is the biggest center of Sunni seminary studies in the country. Molavi Hashim Zehi is a lecturer at this religious center.
نظر شخصی در اسلام برای شخص معتبره، ولی برای اسلام نظر نیست. هر کسی بخواد شخصا مردم را از دیدگاه روزنه اینه که خودش ببیند، حکم بدهد، بعد اعلام جهاد بکند، فتوا بدهد. خیلی چیزها هست امروز در کشورهای اسلامی به نام مسلمانان، چه حکومت ها چه افراد انجام میدهند که از اصل اسلام فاصله گرفتند.
مولوی هاشم زهی believes over the past few years jihad has been applied against terrorism, a term frequently referred to by western leaders, especially those of the United States. Terrorism was elaborated on in former U.S. President George Bush's vocabulary. Overlooking instances where some people make an excuse out of religion to commit a crime, it's crucial to understand just how some individuals reach a point of giving in to this extent of merciless violence. To examine the reasons and causes behind violence from a psychological perspective, we went to the Institute of Niruye Tadbir, or the Power of Prudence, in Tehran, and we sat down with Dr. Nirushak.
Something that we are seeing in TV, the media, maybe the recent one is what's happening in Syria, or even the Palestinian and Israeli. And when we see the anger, it's very sad and disappointing. It's honestly very sad and disappointing to see that we have different skills, at least communication skills, when we take violent and we take killing and destroying, and you know, having or even going through explosions in order to say that I'm right, you're wrong. And at the end, we never know who was right and who had the right to do what. It's all about asking questions that, what was I thinking as an Israeli or as a person that who takes the violence, who takes the first step? That what is it that you were thinking that you thought you have the right to do that? The second question would be that did you get what you were expecting to get?
A technique favored by the Takfiris is the use of child soldiers to carry out criminal acts. Employing children to execute hostages is a perpetration loathed by every human being in the world. International organizations and human rights groups strongly disapprove of these inhumane procedures.
Because on the age of 6 and 7, I'm learning to experience my emotions. From age of 6 and 7, I'm learning to name my emotions. When I'm learning, the first emotion is going to be anger. There is nothing else you would be expecting from me but anger. And not just anger, in the unhealthiest way, violent way, which it's not healthy for the person, and of course, with the society that the person is living in, he will be a danger to the society as well.
A heart-rending video footage that went viral on news networks all over the world shows a Takvidi eating a victim's heart after he'd opened up his chest.
Psychologically, there is no explanation of taking the heart of a human being. It's among psychological, analyzing. It's above that. It's something that it's against human rights. It's against human belief. It's a human. It's against even through the person who took the heart out. I would certainly say that it's even against their own religion. Because I don't see any religion mentioning that you're allowed to take some other's heart from the body. And that doesn't make you the powerful person. That doesn't make you the good person.
After the terrorist attacks on the Twin Towers in the United States, some people believe the extent of violence could not have sprung from ideology. Rather, it must have been a byproduct of the methodology of Al-Qaeda sects. Sects teach their disciples not to ask questions when it comes to fulfilling their duties. But before that, the Taliban government in Afghanistan had displayed cases of sectarian mindsets by obliterating archaeological monuments, excavating graves, torching cinemas, and keeping women from studying. It was crystal clear they follow the ideology of Tabi'in, theorized by Taqiyuddin Ahmad ibn Taymiyyah. Tabi'in later came to be known as the Wahhabi sect.
پیدایش فرقه وهابیت یک تلاشی بوده که از سوی استعمار انگلیس صورت میگیره در اون تاریخ به دنبال این بودن که جریاناتی که بتونه در دنیای اسلام تفرقه ایجاد بکنه این جریانات شکل میگیره. در ابتدای امر واقعا به این شکل بود که یک تقابلی با دنیای بیرون از اسلام هم داشتند، اما کم کم در طول زمان وقتی ما به روند تغییرات اینها نگاه میکنیم میبینیم که از این شکل تقابل با دنیای بیرون اسلام حرکتشون تغییر پیدا میکنه و تبدیل میشه به تقابل در درون خود دنیای اسلام، جهان اسلام، و بیشتر در به دنبال نابودی و از بین بردن سایر فرقه های اسلامی هستند. و الا در ابتدای امر چنین چیزی رو دنبال میکردن، جزء اهدافی بوده که تعقیب میکردن به ظاهر.
The Takfiris are a subdivision of the Wahhabi sect. They deem other followers of Islam as infidels or kafir. Hence, the Takfiris endorse the idea of killing other Muslims, and they put the idea into practice.
بعضاً در منابع ذکر شده که 80% مسلمین رو کافر تلقی می‌کنند، و از دیدگاه اینها این فرق دیگر دنیای اسلام هم جانشون، مالشون و ناموسشون میتونه مورد تعرض قرار بگیره توسط اینها، و در واقع اینها بنیانهای اعتقادی شکل‌گیری یک خشونت جمعی و فرقه ای هست که تکفیری ها نسبت به سایر گروه ها و فرقه های اسلامی به خصوص شیعیان و اهل جماعت دارن.
After a little while the Taliban had taken over in Afghanistan, not only was luck on their side, So was the U.S. The United States was the first country in the West to officially acknowledge the Taliban as a legal administration. The weight the U.S. threw behind the Taliban and then a military convention against Taliban armed forces, meaning Al-Qaeda, ought to be taken as a misunderstanding or lack of sound judgment by the United States. Otherwise, the two maneuvers could be interpreted as the U.S.'s double standards in politics. The U.S. applied terrorist tactics and techniques to go head-to-head with sectarian terrorists. The U.S. resorted to an obvious attempt, like what the Takfiris do themselves. This route, too, led to a dead end. Eventually, American strategists went for the doctrine of, quote, "The enemy of my enemy is my friend." They pushed the Takfiris to Syrian cities to score a win-win approach for themselves amidst fatal street fighting and numerous public and hidden crimes. Mr. Pordel is a prominent scholar of the Sunni religion in Bandar Abbas, south of Iran. He graduated from the University of Islamic Religions in Medina in Saudi Arabia. He's made a decade's worth of attempts to present the true face of Islam to his students.
هر کسی انسان بی گناهی رو بکشه بدون گناه بدون اینکه چه مرتکب قتلی عمد شده باشه یا مفسد فی الارض باشه مثل این که اگر یک نفر رو بکشه مثل این که کل بشریت رو کشته فکأنما قتل الناس جميعا. این حدیث نیست که بگیم ضعیفه یا مرسله یا نمیدونم فلانه این آیه قرآنی است. چون همه چیز داره جذاب ارائه میشه جوانای ما وقتی بیرون میرن روزانه شاید هزارها بار حسشون داره بمباران منفی داره میشه بمباران منفی خیلی جذابه چون ما تأثیر سمعی داریم تأثیر بصری داریم تأثیر لمسی داریم تو جامعه همه اینها ما رو تحت شعای خودش قرار میده در نتیجه خواستیم که دینو از اون حالت سنتی که فقط چه ما وقتی میگیم چه فلانی متدینه ذهنمون به این میره به این سمت میره که حتما نمازخون خوبیه در صورتی که عبادت یا وقتی میگیم فلانی عبادت میکنه شرط نیست که حتما به کارهایی که در رابطه با دنیای بعد از این دنیاست یعنی ارتباط داره یعنی اگر ما در فرهنگ دینیمون اگر کسی ورزش هم بکنه داره عبادت میکنه اگر کسی کار هم بکنه داره عبادت میکنه پیامبر گفته التاجر الصدوق تاجر و بازرگان صادق و مخلص و پاک بیغلقش همراه چه فرشتگان پاک و گرامی خداونده
This is the School of Religious Sciences in Bandar Abbas, where Mr. Pordel teaches his students.
افرادگری خشونت به همراه داره. خشونت دوباره خشونت رو تولید میکنه. خون دوباره خون رو تولید میکنه. اسلام حتی وقتی که اگر قتل عمدی هم صورت بگیره که انسان حق قصاص داره از نظر شرعی، بازم اسلام و قرآن تأکید میکنه و پیامبر صلی الله علیه وسلم که اگر گذشت بکنی خیلی بهتره شما که مربیان و دعوتگران و مصلحان آینده هستید مربیان جامعه هستید این مسئولیت برگردن شماست که با اسلام خشن مقابله بکنید اسلام همش رحمته صلح و صفا و صمیمیته همش محبته همش رحمت و شفقته.
Armed Takfiris are getting ready to destroy one of the most sacred Islamic mosques. And a few seconds later, official statistics suggest Takfiris have by far targeted 1,400 mosques, destructing them all. These are people who, by the name of Islam, destroy Muslim prayer and worship sites. Takfiri scholars rush to their rescue. They've issued a verdict for jihad to make the crime look sacred and legal. This is a common practice that Islamic sects take advantage of to manipulate the naive, to build obedient slaves. Slaves who do not ask questions when it comes to genocide and rape.
هر کسی که بیاد یک فکر یک نفری مصادره بکند به عنوان برده خودش این به دست بیاورد قطعا این اسلام مردود حرامه دیگه از این از گناهی کبیره است گناه نبخشیده نیست که کسی باید فکر عقل یک بنده مسلمانی بنده انسان را یک انسانی مصادره بکند به نفع خودش که از عقل انسان از فکر اون انسان به نفع خودش مصادره سوء استفاده بکند و برای کارهای نامشروع برای کارهای خلاف برای از بین بردن مسلمان برای هر کار ناروا قطعا اون گناه کبیره و نابخشوده نیست در اسلام مردوده و هیچ احدی هیچ فردی این را تایید نخواهد کرد یعنی کسی که یک ذره دین اسلام از اسلام بوی برده باشد نمیتونه به اون را تایید بکنه
A religious verdict is solely an excuse to justify crime and carry on with the inhumane objectives of the takfiris. But where does common sense stand in Islam to accept or deny the verdicts attributed to the divine religion? Maulavi Dehbari believes that accepting the verdicts must be conscientious.
The بحث عقل هم هست. حالا فتوا کسی به شما گفت شما بیا خودتو بکش. میرید مستقیم جنت. آیا خودتونو میکشید؟ اصلا نرو بم نبند. شما بیایید و اصلا کارد بردار بر گلوت بذار. یا تفنگ بردار خودکشی کن میری جنت. و من چنین روایتی دیدم چنین فتوایی دیدم فلان آیا این معتبره
اقترن المعارض المسلح اسد الاسلام
The process of issuing religious verdicts by the takfiris went as far as innovating a gruesome verdict within so-called legal frameworks they called it jihad al-nikah or marriage jihad The jihad al-nikah was officially first referred to by Lutfi Benjedu, the Tunisian Interior Minister, during a national security address to members of the National Constituent Assembly. He said some Tunisian girls have traveled to Syria to sexually comfort the armed rebels.
جهادی به نام جهاد نکاح اصلا در اسلام وجود ندارد هیچ عالمی از صدر اسلام تا حالا چنین چیزی را عنوان نکرده که ما جهاد نکاح داشته باشیم این یک پکوهی که بر دین اسلام زن که این از دین اسلام از این پکوه ها بریست که به اسلام نمیچسبه
The actions taken by the Takfiris do not end with destroying mosques and graves of renowned religious figures or jihad al-nikah. Decapitating hostages, killing children, and creating an atmosphere of terror is just a part of their daily routines. The verdicts and activities of the Takfiris are criticized and disparaged by all Islamic sects. The Takfiris are straightforwardly known to contradict Islam.
وقتی پیامبر ایشون رو صلی الله علیه و سلم فرستاد برای فتح خیبر علمدار خیبر بودن دیگه گفتن چه بچه رو نکشید درخت رو نسوزونید حیوانات رو نسوزونید نکشید کسی که تو صومعه یا نمیدونم فلان جا مشغول عبادت نکشید زن و کودک رو نکشید نمیدونم جوانایی که تو زمین کشاورزی کاری به شما ندارن مشغول تو زمین کشاورزی به اونها تعرض نکنید فقط اونهایی که چه با شما میخوان مقابله بکنن اینا تعالیم اسلامه همش چه بزرگواری گذشت آداب معاشرت احترام به چه به حتی به مخالفش کسانی که میخوان درباره اسلام قضاوت بکنن بر بگردن به خود قرآن و سنت و سیره رسول الله صلی الله علیه و سلم و صحابه و ائمه بر بگردن به اونها اونا چه بودن از اونجا الگو بگیرن اینها الگوی ما نیستن ما هم از اونها بری هستیم
Slavery in the old days was a sad story of people who knew how they'd become slaves. They were forced to carry out hard labor every day and bound in locks and chains at night. When they had the chance, they'd flee from their masters. But the story of modern-day slaves is even sadder. They do not acknowledge their slaves. They wholeheartedly obey the masters who've enslaved their minds. They will obey until they take a life or give up their own. Armed slaves, brainwashed to be at the mercy of numerous masters, to relent to genocide and to depict it as ultimate salvation in this world and the next. Their story is dismal and yet horrific. A reoccurrence of such stories is not far-fetched, as long as political masters and Takfiri lords exist.